I know it was hard for you when I left, but it wasn't my fault. I had to go. You understand that? And now, whose fault is it now?
This is my home. I have roots here.
You're living in the past, Patricia.
Things have changed, Snitch. I'm in charge now.
I'm only here for a week, then I'll be gone.
And you think that changes things?
Nobody's forgotten what you did to Neil.
Ma.
Who's this?
Marcus.
Was he a Panther?
Yeah.
It's Patricia.
If you don't have plans, you should come by. I can talk to them if you want me to. They listen to me.
I can take care of myself.
I know they pumped 16 bullets into my best friend on his information.
It wasn't Marcus.
I'm not the enemy. You still got a friend. They have lost their way. He's putting guns in the hands of children.
I don't give a damn who you used to be. I got my own plans.
You ain't got to answer no questions. You hear that, pig? You don't got to tell them nothing.
Some cats drove by. Shot out the back window. Kids walking around talking about the Vanguard.
That's not who we were. That's not what we did.
Don't come back here.
If you want to have a say about how things go around here, you have to stay.
People, welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 88. I am your host, the host with the most, the phenomenal one.
I am Z.
Z. And today, people, today, Z, we finally end this horrible month. We can finally get away from it. I had to do this shit for another 11 months now. Oh, thank God. I can't tell you. I was ready to hang myself, Z. I really was.
Yeah. After the last two? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm so done with this month, Z, that the day after we recorded this, I got on a plane and went to a fucking island and just vanished. And I was done. I was done for the week. I had to text Cody and say, hey, I ain't gonna be back till this day, man. So, you know what? You can take over now. They were like, what about this? I was like, I don't give a fuck right about now. I'm about to go hang myself. Z ruined my day.
I didn't. The people that voted, that picked that movie did.
Z ruined this day for coming up with this month idea. So I'm like, I don't know. Whoever came up with it, fuck it. I'm just blaming Z. Fuck it. I don't care.
You mean whoever came up with Black History Month?
This is the worst fucking month I've ever experienced in my life. Supposed to be giving back to the Negroes, not trying to make them want to kill themselves even more.
The last two movies. I'm not. Juice was like the best out of those three, so.
When did we watch that? Was that before? Right? A week before?
That was. It went Juice, Soul Plane, and I Got the Hookup.
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay. Wow. You people sure know how to pick them.
We really took a step back from compared to last year.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is a huge fucking step back, because if I'm not mistaken, two of those movies from last year made my best of list.
Yeah.
I think two of these this year are going to make my worst of list.
Yeah. You're right.
Oh my God. And that's a fact. I don't even have to. People like, ain't that a spoiler? Ain't no spoiler. Soul Plane ain't on your worst of list. Yeah, you got problems, Inch.
And you know what? That's the site's called Movie Spoilers.
Yeah. You remember when we first started this site, people would go like, yeah, I really enjoyed the show. I wish you guys wouldn't have spoiled it, though. You know, it's like, you do realize what the title of the site is called, right?
No.
I used to hate fucking having those conversations when me and Lena first started this shit. I fucking hate. I was just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, man. It's the most simplest goddamn name ever. Shit. I fucking hated it. I'm glad people have gotten smart over the past 4 years now. Because nobody asks that question no more. But, Jesus Christ. I even, you know, see, I don't think I've ever asked you, how do you feel about spoilers? You don't seem to give a fuck, really.
No, because, like, what movie, I listened to a podcast and one of your shows and it gave a spoiler, but it didn't bother me. Can't think what movie that was.
Was it the one where the person asked me the question how I felt about spoilers, or?
No, it was like last summer.
What came out last summer?
Godzilla? No.
Yeah, he's still hated that movie even after he spoiled it.
No, I had no hopes to it at all.
I remember you texted me right when I was going to watch the movie.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I was live texting you as I was watching
it. You're like 20 minutes in, no Godzilla. 45 minutes in, no Godzilla.
I'm telling you that. I'm like 30 minutes in, still no Godzilla.
And the best actor in the movie is already dead. And I'm like, okay.
I said, if you was looking forward to Bryan Cranston, you can just go ahead and exit that out.
Right? Just go to the movie, watch him leave.
That was actually a big week for us, because I remember on Throwback Tuesday, we had a long-ass conversation about Godzilla that weekend.
Yes, I think we both caught it, and we were both right.
Yeah, and then 2 days later, I had gone to watch the movie, and I was just texting you every, like, 30 minutes or whatever what was happening.
It wasn't that.
Was it a Galaxy?
Guardians? No. There wasn't really a spoiler in Guardians.
Yeah.
Shit, what the fuck movie was it?
Is it Tomorrow?
No, because we did that show together. It was kind of a big spoiler too, but it didn't bother me.
Dawn of Planet Apes?
No. Amazing. I think it was
Spider-Man?
No, I saw that opening day.
Okay.
It wasn't Interstellar.
Expendables 3?
God, no. Wait, is there a spoiler on that?
Transformers 4, because now we're getting out of the good films. Now we got so Transformers 4. 22 Jump Street?
No, there was no spoiler in that.
I guess no big one. I gotta go to the site now.
I'm looking at all the movies from last year.
I'm sorry, people. Gotta do this now, because now he's got me fucking curious. I got to do this. Where is... Let me see. Going down the archive. Gotta get to the summer. Let's see. Captain America. Oh, I guess that wasn't summer. That was...
No, I saw that opening night.
I know what it was. It was The Other Woman.
Yeah, I never even seen that. Oh, wait. You did Sin City, right?
Yeah.
It was Sin City.
Was it Sin City? Okay, yep. I was about to say X-Men Days of Future Past.
That one, too.
Okay. You didn't go see Dwayne Johnson's Hercules, did you?
No, I still haven't seen it.
We got A Million Ways to Die in the West.
I don't want to see it.
Maleficent. Blended, Legend of Odd. Damn, that did come out last summer.
What movie?
Neighbors, The Quiet Ones.
I never seen Quiet Ones.
Bullshit Ones. Thing Like a Man 2, Jersey Boys, How to Train Dragon 2, Ninja Turtles, Sin City, As Above, So Below, Dolphin Tale 2. Damn, that did come out in the summer.
It was, Sin City was one of them, I remember that.
And X-Men Days of Future Past, man.
Yeah, because I did not see that opening weekend.
Yeah, I think you saw it like a month later, right?
It was still in theaters. I think maybe it was like a week after.
Yeah. Okay, well, since yeah, and that became your favorite movie of the year.
Fuck that. My disappointing movie of the year.
Most disappointing movie of the year. So, yes, I was wondering how you felt about spoilers. You don't never seem to really talk about it that much.
No, I mean, it's bound to happen, especially with the internet. It's bound to happen.
Ah, so you're one of those people with sense that just realize, whatever.
Seriously, it's whatever. You're gonna find out. It's like, remember the rant when Sixth Sense came out?
Yeah.
And people got so pissed off when you said about that.
Yeah.
That shit would not fly nowadays.
And I didn't get mad when I saw it.
No, that shit would not fly by. Because, one, if you knew the spoiler, you're looking at clues to figure out how it happened.
Yeah. My thing of why I don't care about spoilers is because... Me and you, Zeke, let's say we're having a conversation about this movie right now that we're about to review here, and I didn't see it before you and you told me about it or whatever. It's not going to take my enjoyment or hatred for the film or whatever because you're telling me about it, but I'm visually watching it on screen as it happens. And if the delivery is as good as you say, I will still enjoy it as much just watching it on screen and how it came together to get to that point.
You're right. And I just thought of another one that I listened to the show, and I didn't watch the movie beforehand. It was Interstellar.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I have to see this.
more than I did, or?
I was kind of blah on it.
Yeah, because I remember people talking about, oh, that the first 2 hours were brilliant. I was just going, like, I don't even think they were brilliant, to be honest. I thought it was just whatever.
There's no brilliance to the movie.
Yeah, I thought, it, like, the first, don't get me wrong, the first half was good. It was real good, don't get me wrong, but it still didn't get me at a point where I was just like, okay, where's this going to go for me to call it brilliant?
Yeah, you're right.
So, and then when we get to the point where it went, I was just like, wow. Visually, it's beautiful. I'll give it that. It's beautiful visually. It's
yeah.
Genius. Other than that, I don't think it was really a lot going on in the opening and the beginning over it for me to call it brilliant, but that's just me.
No, the music drained it out.
Hans Zimmer's, man. That dude, great orchestra, man. Great music and everything. Scores are always great. That motherfucker does not know when to end his shit, though.
No.
That motherfucker will keep a song going for the whole damn movie if he has to.
And you know what? Like Inception, his music's everywhere in that movie, and it was awesome.
No, you know the most recent one, too, is Man of Steel.
Yes.
An hour of that shit. I was like, Jesus Christ.
He should have. There's times that he should have cranked up the volume on that song, on those music, so you don't hit to listen to dialogue.
There was dialogue in that film? Oh, okay.
A little bit.
Motherfucker was looking up into the sky halfway through the fucking film all the time and shit. Yeah. Kind of like in this film.
Yeah.
Which is called Night Catches Us. Which, man, there's not a lot of fucking dialogue in this film.
How did you know about this? Because I never heard of it.
I had got it sent to me when it came out, because it had a small theater run or whatever, and someone was telling me that I would like this film. I don't remember who it was, neither. It wasn't a spoiling bastard. It was actually a friend of mine, whatever. He said this would be some stuff I'm interested in, or whatever, because I do like these Black Panther films and shit like that. And he sent it to me. I have it on a DVD, actually. Sent it to me. I checked it out. I said, okay, it's cool. It's all right. It's whatever.
Yeah.
Great performances by Anthony Mackie. I want to say this is probably the third or fourth time I saw Anthony Mackie in a film.
This was right after Hurt Locker, I believe.
Okay. I believe 8 Mile was Anthony Mackie's first appearance in films, right?
I believe so, but he was not a major...
No, everything he was in before this, I don't think he was a major player at all.
No.
At least the main star of a film.
But this was... He was, like, credited number one.
Yeah, and sure enough, the story does follow around him and stuff.
Now, here's what I was watching. When I was watching this, do you see this movie through the daughter's eyes? Iris.
That's a very good question.
Because that's what I was thinking of watching it, because they focus so much on her.
You know what I was going to say as I was rewatching it? I think that the movie follows the eyes of everyone. The you know, Kerry Washington, Anthony Mackie, and the daughter, and the cousin Jimmy, if that was their coming. I thought it followed through all their eyes, whatever, how the director took... her directional turn, first-time director on this one as well, and how she took her directional turn, which I have to say, I don't think was that strong, but I thought it was better than what I've seen for most first-time directors. Obviously, it could have been improved. You know, you don't expect perfection through a first-time director, I guess, and plus, she wrote the film, too. There was a woman that wrote and directed this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some parts, because there's so many different stories going on in between this. You got Anthony Mackie's mystery, which I thought personally was the best part of the film, and, that whole mystery of, like, was he a snitch or not for the Black Panther. You got Jimmy, who's, you know, he's pretty much slow in the head or whatever, and he just goes by what he sees, and, you know, he's wanting to follow along because he's not a leader, he's a follower. So you got that with the whole him wanting to kill cops and stand up with the Black Panthers. You got Kerry Washington and, you know, what's her story with her daughter, you know, what's going on as far as is she the leader of the Black Panther, how she got so much power. And then you got the daughter, Iris, who she's trying to figure out, you know, pretty much where she came from. Who is she? Who's her father and stuff like that? What happened to him, you know?
Yeah, that's why I just watching him, like, I think this is through the daughter's eyes.
Especially towards the end of the film, it's more for the daughter.
Yeah.
The end of the film is mainly for, somewhere in the middle and beginning is more of Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, and then it kind of
Beginning is
translates.
really Anthony Mackie. Middle is a cross between Anthony Mackie and Kerry Washington, the one of the most beautiful black women in Hollywood I've ever fucking seen. Oh my God, that girl, man. Her facial features is just,
I loved her fro.
Oh my God, I would eat that fro for breakfast.
Yeah,
We talking about her
she's.
hair, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, my bad. I was talking about something else. Anyway,
Yeah, she's absolutely beautiful in this.
Oh my God, that girl is, man, that girl is hot.
And
I wouldn't
she.
say when she got introduced into the game. I remember me and my buddy had a conversation, and he said a statement that saying that she was supposed to take over as far as the good-looking black women of where Holly Berry left off. Because
Left off.
Holly Berry was like I was like, shit, Holly Berry's still fine. What are you talking about? Shit. I was like, shit, she's still fucking fine. I was like, shit, she look like, remember, like, Holly Berry looked like she ain't aged a bit.
No.
Looked
Plastic
like she slept in
surgery
the soul a
probably.
lot of kids.
Yeah. Plastic surgery probably does wonders, so.
Did she have plastic surgery?
I think so. She has not changed.
No, she fucking looks the same. I mean, that body's probably gotten tighter, because of the workout and all that. But hey, she's still hot. But hey, man, Kerry Washington, that's a nice second, though. I wouldn't mind that. Because Kerry Washington, oh my God, that girl. You remember, we talked about her last year around Oscar season when she had, I think, one of the best dresses there and shit.
Yeah, she, not only is she beautiful, she's actually a really good actress.
Yeah, have you ever watched her show, Scandal?
No, 'cause I work.
She's really good at that on that show.
Yeah, she gets high praise for that. I mean,
I want to say that show actually made her a better actress.
yeah, I think TV makes you a better actress, better actor,
Yeah,
actress.
because you get more. It's not like a 2-hour thing. You get more episodes to work with. You get to, different characters, the dynamic with, and stuff like that. And basically, TV is kind of like almost training for movies,
Yeah, that's what they're saying with for Empire, for Terrence Howard and fuck, what's her name?
Oh, it's right. That show is horrible.
They're saying that just those two that they're acting, it's like they've they're it's like a lot different in movies.
That show is fucking horrible too. I fucking hate that shit. As a matter of fact, Taraji P. Henson, I thought you was on a rise. That show is ruining your career. Stop
And
right now.
Terrence Howard, you backed out of Iron Man 2, so.
Iron Man ruined his career, though. You remember that, though?
Yep.
Iron Man ruined his career,
Can you imagine? The whole Marvel thing about them paying the other people. Imagine if
Yeah.
he was still on.
I don't see how he got paid more than Robert Downey Jr. when that nigga was a sidekick.
But imagine if he was still on, how much he would demand.
Oh, they would have been got rid of his ass.
Maybe, yeah.
They would have got rid of his ass in a heartbeat.
Then we got now Don Cheadle, who's an upgrade.
Very much of an upgrade. Kind of like Iron Man. Upgrade. Upgrade that armory or whatever. So, yes. See, having a plot synopsis.
Plot synopsis: Night Catches Us, directed by Tonya Hamilton, starring Kerry Washington, Anthony Mackie, Jamie Hector. I don't see a budget anywhere. Let me
It
put.
was made really cheap. I remember when it first came out, they talked about, I want to say it was like under 10 million or something.
Okay, but total gross was 73,000.
Yeah.
So this is limited release, very limited release. Four
I want to say it only
screens.
got released in two theaters, if I'm saying that was for like a week.
Four screens.
Yeah.
And we pretty much were in Philadelphia in 1967?
In the 60s.
In 76, actually. And we follow former Black Panther, one of the main guys in the Black Panthers in the Philadelphia region, come back into town, and pretty much it's you find out if he's a snitch of the leader of the group at the time, and then his that widowed Kerry Washington and how she became a major player, and her cousin Jimmy, and just
That was the best part of the movie, was the mystery of everything. Just trying to find out, like, okay, where is this going? Where's that going? Whatever.
yeah, it's pretty much, it is a mystery. It's a dramatic mystery.
I have to say, well, to get in my positive, one thing I liked about the film, and I like this about a lot of these films too, is I love these movies that get made in like the 2000s or whatever and shit, and they're supposed to be placed in the set. I love period piece films, or whatever. This really did feel like 1976.
I love the shots that they did, the real footage shots of Black Panther.
That was actually, I was wishing they would have did more with that.
Yeah, they did that a lot, especially like in the heart to heart conversation, especially with the daughter. They did that. Like I think they showed Martin Luther
Especially
King's
towards the end.
funeral.
That was the best one they did, when it was towards the end and they did that shit.
They showed Martin Luther King's funeral too, right?
Yeah. It was
So,
the one where she was pulling the paper,
yep.
the drywall or whatever off the wall, and they were doing the flashbacks and stuff like that. I thought that was beautifully shot.
That was great. Cinematography, it was really good.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely good. The technical wise, the woman handled it pretty well. I love the period piece films, obviously. I gotta say some negatives though. I thought this movie was kind of a letdown, to be honest, because I thought it could have did more with it.
It was extremely boring, but it's not discrediting on it. Does have a good message.
It has a really good message, actually, to and the movie, I think where it lets down is because it didn't get more involved with the whole Black Panther thing. It didn't go as far as it should have with the whole, the story about, what was his name? Was it Neil, her the dead husband?
Oh crap. Yes, I
Think it
think
was
so.
Neil or Ned or something like that. I forgot the guy's name, whatever. I don't think it went into that more. I thought how the mystery led up to him when Anthony Mackie told the story, him and Carrie Washington, I thought that was all great about that whole thing. It just felt like it kind of just went away after it was told, though. It wasn't brought up again after that. And another thing that got dropped too as well was which I thought would have been interesting too, is Anthony Mackie's trying to, he's not really trying to redeem himself or nothing like that. But when what's that brother's name? William Pierce, is it?
Are you talking about the cop?
Yeah, the cop.
He was just he. You thought he was gonna play a bigger role from what you saw, but he was
Yeah.
just showed up, left, and then we didn't see him again.
And the thing about that too was, you remember the scene he gives Anthony Mackie the gun? That scene got dropped. Like that storyline went nowhere. Like Anthony Mackie went to the bar, they had a conversation, and it was the shortest fucking conversation I ever saw. And then it just ended, and it never went back to that at all. Even that cop. Damn, I can't believe I'm blanking on his fucking name because he was just in Selma. Dude is really good. He's been in a
Wendell
lot of
Pierce.
movies.
Yeah, you're Wendell Pierce.
Wendell Pierce, yeah, dude is a great actor or whatever. He came back to Kerry Washington's house at night after what's his name? Shot that cop, whatever. And I'm like, damn, he just put handcuffs on Anthony Mackie. He ain't bringing this up. He's not talking about that at all. I was like, hey, did you plant the gun or anything like that? I mean, so I was like, damn, that went nowhere. I was like, either the editing was horrible on this or whatever. But
It was the movie was
problem I
short
have with this
too.
film is there's a lot of just blank stares from the actors here. And by that, I mean there are scenes where you expecting like a meaningful, deep conversation, and both actors, they get about 2 words out, and the scene will just cut and go somewhere else. I thought that was kind of weak as fuck, personally. Like the whole scene where they were telling the daughter the whole story and shit, it just ended right there, and then it just cut to a next scene the next morning and shit like that, and like all it was forgotten or whatever. Like I don't think the dialogue exchange was good enough, strong enough, or long enough to make you feel anything for it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, I would say it's more on the dialogue part compared to, the actors, 'cause we both agree Mackie and Washington were great.
Yeah, they were good. They just wasn't given. They got the Superman treatment. They wasn't given enough material to fucking speak.
Exactly. So there was a lot of hit and misses on certain plots, 'cause
Oh
there it
yeah.
was pretty much three plots.
Oh yeah.
Mackie, Jimmy, and Washington. So you had three plots, and they
Oh, don't forget the Black Panthers too. With what was his name? Do-Right.
do right or Dwayne.
Wayne, do right, and then you want to throw in Wendell Pierce too, the cop thing.
He was a minor,
Oh, and not to mention Anthony Mackie's brother too.
which that just dropped out of nowhere. That
That dropped
that's
out of nowhere and went nowhere too.
mean, you're like, okay, he get kicked out of the house because Mackie, he comes back home because his father died, and he said he'll fix up the house so he can stay there, and he fixes it up the way he wants it, and brother has a fucking shit fit.
Yeah, and Anthony Mackie sounded like he was doing it for you. He's just like, you can save some money in your pocket. I can do it all for free, man. I'll just do it, you know, get it done or whatever.
And they already had a buyer for the house.
Yeah, and they got into a huge argument, and I was just sitting there holding. I was like, this argument means nothing because his brother's in this movie for two scenes.
Yeah, and then he completely vanishes.
And then there's the whole thing about the father, and he's like, my father loved that car. I was like, I don't even know who your father was.
Yeah, because he wrote, okay, Durag wrote Snitch on the driver's side. Why wouldn't Mackie clean it off? He left it on the entire time.
Yeah, he left it on hold.
Why wouldn't he clean it off?
Which is a badass Cadillac, by the way, too.
Yeah, it was.
Man, that was a sweet-ass ride. I would have wiped that shit off right away. Did you see Anthony Mackie in that bar? It took 5 men to take him down.
Yes.
I was waiting for him to say, bitch, I'm the Falcon.
One thing I do, another plot thing was, I don't remember his name, Washington's boyfriend.
Oh, which by the way, that was another thing that went, like, the scenes with him, I felt that somebody did some bad editing on him, because I was just like, you see a scene with him in it, and then it goes back to like a flashback moment, and it'll come back like, back to present time, and then you'll just see him in the background somewhere. I'm just like, is he married to her or not?
Yeah, I mean, she invites Mackie to live at her place because they're friends. Well, so to speak,
her home is kind of like, she takes care of like Black Panther people and shit like that.
She's like the central hub.
Yeah, yeah, she's like, she's kind of almost like the community's,
old lady.
Yeah, she's like the community's program, instructor or something like that, yeah.
Which, she was a lawyer, right?
That's saying it in a nice way, too, by the way, people, by saying that, because basically what she's doing is she's just making sure, you know, the Black community in her neighborhood, who she knows, she's just making sure they're taken care of and stuff like that. That's the only reason why she never kicked Jimmy out. It's the reason why she brought him in the house and stuff like that. Plus, you know, you really don't understand why she brought him in the house at first, but then later on in the movie, you do find out, it's like, oh, she kind of owes him, so yeah.
Yeah. So he gets mad and he leaves. He goes, just come live with me. And then he leaves, and then we don't see him ever again.
They had, like, 3 scenes together, though.
I know.
And I loved it, because when at the barbecue, or the potluck, or whatever and shit, he just comes in, tells her hi, gives her a little kiss on the cheek and stuff. You know, like a formal greeting, right?
Yeah.
All the girls in the background, ooh, girl, look at that right there, whatever. Okay.
It's
funny, because the husband is standing right there, and Anthony Mackie doesn't say anything but, hey, how's it going, or whatever. And his brother is just staring at him like, trying to take my woman. I'm just like, it don't look nothing like that, bro.
So he, obviously, Mackie is known in this Philly suburb.
I think those women were just going, ooh, they're just being fucking
dumb. Were they? I was thinking, like, oh, do they know him that he's a snitch? What's that?
Those women was being fucking nosy.
Okay, yeah, yeah, you can tell they were.
Yeah.
And in a potluck, you're supposed to bring food. He didn't bring shit.
Yeah, he brought money.
He did, because they wanted to fucking pay for Jimmy's bond.
Yes.
Because he said, what did he say to the cop? Asshole.
Man, he would call it, man, Jimmy was one of those dudes where every time you saw him in the movie, you wanted to be Anthony Mackie or whatever. And at first, I was kind of like, Anthony Mackie coming back in town telling this dude to get out of the house and stuff like that. But I was like, you know what? Yeah, someone does need to tell him to get out of the house, because he's taking these kids along with him and shit like that, going up to these cops calling them assholes and stop doing his pigs and throwing up Black Panther hands and shit like that. And you're just like, you're going to get these kids killed now. You're bringing threats to the house now. You're not fucking listening. You're being ignorant right now.
Yeah. And we find out that, I mean, she brought Mackie in to the house, and I don't know what scene was before. When did the Durag shoot the cop car? Was that before or after he got brought into the house?
That was after. You talking about when when they went to the store?
Yeah, when Jimmy started shit with the cop.
That was talking to the kid with the bike?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was after.
Okay, so he's pretty much got a target, but Carrie pretty much talked to Durag and said, don't touch him. Because, obviously, she knows the truth. Durag does not. He thinks, you know, he got the leader of the Black Panthers killed.
Yeah, only person that knows this is Kerry Washington, obviously.
Yeah, and so she had a lot of power.
Oh, yeah, and that's because her husband was the one with the power.
Yeah.
So she kind of just adopted the power.
Yes.
I think that was one of the reasons why she felt immune to the community to take care of him and stuff like that. I actually thought that was the one time actually in the movie where I had my hand over my head and was just like, oh shit, when they revealed that Anthony Mackie was a snitch. And I was curious about that throughout the whole movie too. I was just like, because he's not really saying no, I'm not, or anything. Like, he's not really defending it. So I was like, it must be true, but it must be a story deeper than this. And then when Kerry Washington telling the story, which was probably the best scene in the film too, she's explaining it to her daughter. Her daughter is constantly asking her questions about did my father get killed, why would it happen, stuff like that, because she wasn't even born yet, the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She was, what did they say, 6 months?
I believe so, yeah. So this happened, and she was almost 10 at the time, so this was a 10-year gap.
Yeah, it was a 10-year gap, and I liked the part where she said, we got you out of the city at the time, and the daughter was like, we, and she was like, me and Marcus. And I was thinking like, oh, were they having some kind of love affair going on or whatever? And it was like, no. She explained that her husband, or that Iris's father, pretty much out of rage when two Black Panthers were killed, he just went on a spree of murdering cops and stuff like that. And they were coming to the house to take the daughter, the Kerry Washington in and stuff like that. And Anthony Mackie made a deal to where she and her daughter wouldn't be the ones taken in or killed or anything like that. So he gave them up, their husband and stuff. I was like, damn, that was a good twist right there.
We didn't really find out why she turned him in.
Turned who in?
Why Patricia did?
Well, Anthony Mackie did.
Well, why she? No, Patricia called the cops.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
So we never found out really why, but I think that's open ended. Like you kind of think why you want. Maybe she wanted out of that life, or
no, I wasn't that. I just explained to you. Fucking deaf. I'll tell you because he went on a spree of murder. She wasn't agreeing with his. She said it in that speech. She said I couldn't go along with what he was doing. It was wrong, whatever. She wasn't involved with the whole killing and stuff.
No,
like
she
that.
Wasn't.
And they were threatening her to take. The cops were threatening her that they were going to grab her ass and shit like that.
Do you think Do you think? Do you think Gordon obviously was a part of that. Wendell Pierce. Obviously he was. He knew the truth too.
Yeah.
So three people knew the truth.
I'm assuming that Anthony Mackie was the one that probably told him, and that's probably where they broke that deal off.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he owned Anthony Mackie and shit like that. That dude was, which I thought they dropped the ball with him too, because he was just like, when he was giving him the gun, he's like, I own you. You'll do what I tell you to. I was like, Jesus. I wanted to see more of that, you know, police corruption and shit like that.
We got it with, well, Jimmy getting arrested for saying asshole, and it was a verbal assault on a cop, which that shit wouldn't fly now.
They shoot your ass now,
right? Yeah. That's what happened to Jimmy. That's why I was like, okay, what's he gonna do? Turn himself in, or is he gonna like make a stupid move and get killed? And they just showed like a cutaway and just hear gunshots. I'm like, what did he do?
That was a beautiful shot too, by the way.
That was. I'm like, okay, because 76 Philadelphia, still racial tension.
Oh yeah, especially at this time.
Yeah, especially this is
especially because you know the Black Panther movement was making it even more aggressive at the time too.
Exactly, and then there was Do-Right. Was he a leader of the Black Panthers or another group?
He was part of the Black Panther movement or whatever, and but they had called them. There was I forgot what the name of it was.
Jimmy said it to the cop.
Yeah, Jimmy said it right before. He showed up when shot at those cops. I fucking can't remember it now.
It starts with a U. I know it starts with a U.
For some reason, I wanted to say the something with a C, but I don't think it is with a U. Fuck, I forgot. Jimmy, he had to have one funny scene. I like when that kid called him a stupid fuck.
Oh, when he went to the can guy?
Yeah, the dude that the guy he was getting paid for before, like, hey, he'll rip you off, and then you see him only get like two bills from him and shit like that. He just walks away, and then you hear the kid says, "Damn, he's a stupid ass."
that was his brother too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was funny. That was his. Like, was he? You said he was. Was he mentally challenged or was he just dumb?
He had to be. No, I think he was just dumb.
You think he was just dumb? Okay.
Yeah, I think he was just dumb.
He believed the hype because they did that comic book.
He was though because his speech. He wasn't talking right in some sense. He was like slurring over words and shit like that. I don't know, but I'm just gonna say he was dumb. I think he, yeah, you were exactly right. He's one of those that just believe the hype and shit.
Because that comic book played a huge role, the Black Panther comic book.
Oh, that was a good scene.
Oh, I love the stop motion.
Yeah, the stop motion looked great. That was like that scene from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Yep, and part one, yeah.
Yeah, when they had that stop scene, they just showed the stop motion shit, whatever and stuff. I thought that was it was like a 4-page. I love that scene with him and Anthony Mackie where he was just like, "The cops fucking printed this damn book, whatever, to catch stupid ass people like you."
Which I remember in history class that was true.
Yeah, I remember that too. I was like, "Oh yeah." Cops was planting shit on you because they was trying to get you riled up just to put a bullet in your ass. And you know, it's funny because you said that this movie had an important message or whatever. Come fast forward about 40 years later, we still doing that. We still getting planted by cops, whatever, and going along with it because every time a black kid is shot, something like that, niggas want to go in the street and riot and shit like that. That's what they want you to do.
Yeah, that's what was that town? What's that town in? Was it Kansas? Ferguson? Was it Kansas?
Ferguson.
That's Missouri, yeah.
Yeah, Missouri.
Yeah, that's the big one. And something happened, in New York, where that kid put his hands up?
Yeah. I want to say in the last summer, it was in almost in every goddamn state. South, East Coast, West Coast, it was always
something. Yep. So
it was like an epidemic at one point last summer. Sure.
I mean, it was kind of getting scary that it was gonna get turned bad.
Yeah,
like the cops were gonna pretty much. It was gonna be a riot everywhere. It died down, but the way
it died down from the public standard because there was one point where I think it was right after the trial when the because I know in L.A. There was like protests and shit going on. They closed off every freeway the protesters, and then you know some rioting had started and shit. And I was like, Jesus Christ, man, that's what they want you to do. And then sure enough, what happened when those riots started? They started knocking niggas upside the head and shit.
And then you see the whole Trayvon Martin too.
Oh yeah, that was another one.
That was one in the what's the I Can't Breathe one?
Oh,
I think.
I can't remember what state that one happened in.
I think that was Ohio. I think that was in Cleveland.
Is that the Cleveland, Ohio one?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know, you know, the NBA made a big deal about it. They was wearing the fucking shirts and shit about it.
Yeah, the sports, like NBA, the Heat did that with the Trayvon Martin with the hoodies.
That's huge that the, you know, NBA or NFL would get involved with that because they don't normally get involved with any fucking thing, and sports has a huge fucking following. Well, the NBA and NFL has a huge fucking following or whatever, so, you know.
Yeah,
that was pretty huge, actually.
Like, during the Ferguson thing, the St. Louis Rams came out and did their fist race.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole Ferguson thing, and that's like, seriously, I think that's really close to St. Louis. So, and that brought a huge uproar.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, you don't see that nowadays. You don't see, you know, as much as I hate to say this, entertainment in America has more power than most, you know, political figures and shit. Because people worship fucking entertainers and stuff like that, sports and actors and actresses and stuff like that. And they just don't know how much they can have a following if they open their mouths on subjects like this.
Yeah, and this movie, it's kind of like it's literally a throwback to kind of what it was back in then. Because you had the white cops harassing the black cops, or the black people. You had a black guy in charge, the detective. I think it's
in a predominantly black neighborhood, too, in Philadelphia, man.
Yeah, you had a black cop, which was Pierce.
Corrupted as fuck.
Pretty much wants to end the Panthers. It kind of seemed like he wanted to end the problems.
I would have loved to know more about Pierce's character, honestly. I was wondering, is he one of those brothers that's in this position where it's just like, look, if I don't do this, then I'm on the chopping block, you know?
Yeah, is he, you know, where is the hate towards him?
Yeah, that's you know what I mean? You want to figure out with him.
So that's one of the big misses in the movie, especially with the brother, the husband or boyfriend, and there's some more good bad points on this movie than good points.
Yeah, I think the bad points on and the wrap up all the bad points on it is it just lacks.
Yeah, it kind of lack it. doesn't lack the imagination.
No.
It lacks on
On
stuff
what
that,
could have been.
yes, it kind of like abruptly ends something without no explanation.
I'm not saying this could have been Selma or 12 Years a Slave, but it had the potential to be somewhere close next to it.
Yeah, I mean, well, those are well, I haven't seen Selma, but 12 Years, it's you do have a black. I think this one hits more close to home because it's recent, close, it's closest to it, to our current time frame. Because I did you think this was a true story, the way it kind of played out?
I wouldn't be shocked by it. There's a lot of these Black Panther films or whatever that call that follows a lot of true stories. I
Yeah,
wouldn't be shocked by it.
and I can't remember the, what's the movie in the 90s that was about, was it Black Panther?
Oh, yes.
It
Not the
was,
superhero people.
yeah, I remember that movie, and that was pretty much the start of the Black Panthers, I believe.
What's his name? Tupac Shakur's mother.
Yeah, so.
It all comes full circle. Start Black History Month off with juice, then we get it back to black. It comes full circle.
Exactly. So, but there's a lot
I
of.
gotta look. Growing up, I was very fascinated with the Black Panthers.
I'm sure every black per black kid was,
Yeah,
because
this
they
movie
were,
kind of makes you look at them in a different format, whatever and stuff.
because they were the same.
It's hard to defend someone in a militia like this, because I understand where the Black Panthers in this film were coming from, but the way they were handling things was even more extreme. It's just like kill one cop, they kill 20 more black people.
Yeah, I mean they Black Panthers were the same time as Martin Luther King, right?
Around Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, that's right.
So, and they were positive role. They wanted, to end the hate.
Malcolm X was like in the middle. He kind of,
He was in the
even though
middle.
him and Martin had the same goals, they were the two that had the different ways of getting it done.
Yeah, but the Black
Malcolm
Panthers
X was just
wanted.
like, look, I want peace too, but if a damn person comes up in your house and disrespects you or put their hands on you, hit them back then.
Yeah,
Where Martin
and
Luther King was more, no violence.
the Black Panthers were extremist.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Which we don't, there is no, Jesse Jackson thinks he's like the next Martin Luther King and stuff, but
He still thinks that
we don't, there's no, like, there's no, seriously, like, political figure that's has that kind of following like Malcolm X or Martin Luther King, and there's the gangs who probably think they're the next Black Panthers, though.
don't think gangs are smart enough to even think like that, but gangs are fucking ignorant.
Yeah, they are, but you don't think they. I'm sure the Black Panthers are a huge influence on the gangs.
I don't think
You
so.
don't think so?
No, I never heard not one gang talk about no fucking black man. I come from gang territories. I know. I
Yeah,
never
you
fucking
do.
heard that before. So no.
That's just a white person talking.
Southside Compton Crips, please come tell me if you was influenced by the Black Panthers. Please, I'm so curious about that now.
That's just a white person talking.
ain't never heard that shit before. Damn, that was some stretching.
Yeah, it was. But that's why, I mean, this movie, I mean, we've seen movies that you see the whites hating the blacks and the discrimination. I mean, this one seemed, I think, a lot more real.
This one was more just cops versus blacks than it was whites versus
Was
blacks.
yeah, there was no like other white people besides cops, right?
Oh, this was a Philadelphia neighborhood in the 70s. Hell no, yeah, this was definitely lower class Philadelphia. Yeah, there was no other white people.
And what's the same odds that Jimmy runs this into the same cop,
There's probably only two white cops in that whole neighborhood.
Probably.
That's why they beat niggas and shit like that. It's because they got adopted to they got sent to that city to watch it. That's what it was.
I'm surprised if Jimmy called that cop an asshole the first time, I'm surprised he didn't get arrested the second time.
Gex, what do you call them? These
He
man,
said worse shit.
it was that man, that scene right there. You wanted to punch Jimmy. Say, shut the fuck up, dude. What's wrong with you? Shit.
I'm surprised Marcus did not, or I'm surprised Marcus did not like tackle him and just say, "Shut the fuck up."
Marcus took the kids back into the store or whatever, which was good on his part, man. You know, because it was like, you see this dude just goes into Kerry Washington House, he just starts laying down the law on these people and stuff like that. And I was kind of like, yeah. But then when you see the way how Jimmy reacts and why Marcus is doing, he's like, you know what, he's got a damn good reason, whatever. Jimmy's acting like a goddamn ignorant-ass fool right now, whatever, and people in those kind of situations, they're the ones that don't get hurt. It's usually the casualties around them.
Yeah, and
I think Marcus was really a stand-up go-to guy, man. I mean, this dude, he pretty much put his life on the line by taking blame for Kerry Washington.
Yeah, and they picked a hell of an actor to play that role, too, because Mackie was superb.
Oh, yeah, Mackie is definitely a great actor. I wish they would have gave that brother more lines.
He was. I think he was like the strong, silent type, but when he made his point, he made his point.
Oh, yeah.
And Carrie, yeah, and Carrie was really good too. She played, like what you said, she played the community outreach woman who had power, which you really didn't know how she got into power, so to speak.
Yeah, you did. Her husband.
Her husband, yeah, but she was very influential.
Well, because her husband was the fucking leader of them. I mean, so that means, you know, they were like family or whatever. So, you know, obviously they're going to look up to her. They're going to watch out for her and shit like that.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed that obviously the Black Panthers are probably huge in Philly, that Mackie would have got more hate because he, you know, people did not talk to him. They just walked past him at Kerry Washington's house. He got the word snitch on his car from Do Right. And you would think he got a lot more.
Yeah, that's why I said this film lacks so much into the story of and you know it lacks in the little parts that could add like 20 times the amount of weight into a film.
Do you think they just try to keep it way too simple?
No, I just don't. I think it was just first time director writer. That's all it was. Whatever. This is her first time writing something. You know, I mean she I think she tackled a bigger subject than what she thought she was getting herself into. She did a fine job, but she could have did better if she would have had someone come in and rewrite it.
She has not done anything.
No.
So, I don't know. That's kind of, you know.
She might have made this for a passion project.
Yeah, she looks so familiar.
Yeah, I was staring at her, too, for the longest. Matter of fact, as the movie credits was rolling, which, by the way, the soundtrack is done by The Roots in this.
Great soundtrack. Great music.
They even did the, I don't know if you noticed that the title, well, I didn't even do it in the movie, too, is they had a remix version of the Wu-Tang's Cream.
Oh, yeah, in the opening title?
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. I love that. Yeah, that was great.
I love the Roots, man. Roots is fucking phenomenal, man. They do a great job in here. You know, I was shocked. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, damn, I'm surprised the Roots haven't been in any other of these black films like this.
Because they are very influential.
Oh, man, they make great music, dude.
Oh, the Roots are awesome, yeah.
Love their fucking music. I wish more black musicians would get into making bands and stuff like that or whatever. Talent, real music for one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that bullshit we've been talking about from, what, last week?
Yeah, or 2 weeks in 2 weeks.
Oh, well, yeah. That too, whatever. But, Z, let's wrap this up. How was your final thoughts on this?
I would say it's a real good movie, but it does have that lack of the abrupt two stops of plot points. That's a massive thing. But it's pretty much all tied in together with Mackie and Washington's acting, which was phenomenal. Probably the best I've ever seen Mackie in anything.
He's always been a brother in the background. He's just like, man, if this guy gets a leading role, I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him do it.
And he was just, you know, awesome. But you know, it's a nice independent movie, which it's an independent movie, right?
Oh yeah,
big time. I would probably give it.
Festival film.
Yeah, I think it won a few film festivals.
I think it won 3, if I'm not mistaken.
It debuted on Sundance, and that's a big thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, watching it, first time seeing it, I've never heard of it. I was pretty impressed with the first time director. It was. Yeah. I'd probably have to give it a high rent it.
Yeah. Okay.
I was bordering on see it, but we made some massive points about the abrupt two endings of stuff, and it does a lot of boring moments, which it's I think it's supposed to add that tension and drama to it, but I think it did it too much.
You know what? There was, we didn't bring up this one scene. After they tell the daughter Iris how her father was killed. You remember she was sitting at that lake throwing rocks in the thing?
Yeah.
You remember Anthony Mackie just walked up and she said one line and it just cut off and went to another scene? I was like, what did that even mean?
Yeah, and he left pretty much by himself.
Oh, and that ending too. I was just like, oh, okay.
Like, where did
I
he,
didn't really
like,
care for that ending that much.
no, she, I mean, did she pretty much, was that for everything he did, did he make up for it?
And I think the movie just leaves you at a lot of cliffhangers. A lot of open road moments where I'm just like, and it's not good ones neither. That's the problem with it.
No, but I would say a high rent it. It's worth seeing, not going on your way to see it, but it's actually worth a watch once, just feel, see another side of the racial discrimination.
Let me ask you a question. Say you were Anthony Mackie. Well, let's say you was in a situation. You think if you had a friend that was in a situation like Kerry Washington, you think you could have did the same thing that Anthony Mackie did for her?
I don't know. You pretty
That's
much
a
have
horrible.
a you pretty much have a whole city hate you.
You pretty much in your life right there, almost. So, you pretty much in your name is forever, especially nowadays, because back then there was no technology for the shit to spread through other cities. But if you do that now, that just doesn't stay in one city or state.
It's social media.
So, do you think that you'd be able to put yourself, if you had a friend in Kerry Washington's position, someone you cared for or whatever, do you think you could be able to put yourself in Anthony Mackie's position?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight on your shoulders.
Oh, hell yeah. Especially, and it seemed like he made the decision very quickly too, because, given the situation that they were in, like cops were coming now. So, I gotta make that situation. I gotta make the decision now. It's a yes or no,
I don't think I would.
Yeah.
'Cause
At
one,
that
you're.
moment, that time, you'd probably panic out, freak out, or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, back the time, because back your time, it's possible, but wherever city you go to, there could be another Black Panther group
Oh,
that
yeah.
know about
Black
it,
Panthers were out for blood.
and they would pretty much end your life at a snap of your, at the snap of a fingers.
Oh, yeah. And being, because you're a black man, too, they're not gonna, cops not gonna care. Nobody's gonna avenge your death or nothing like that. You're done. Man, I thought, this is a nice little film. I like this film a lot. People, it's on Netflix and Amazon Prime right now. You can stream. It's on all kinds of streaming devices or whatever. I just saw it right now. You can definitely stream it. Acting on Anthony Mackie and Kerry Washington was great. Actually, Kerry Washington, she was actually better in the dramatic parts that she had than she was in just, standalone talking films, whatever. Even Iris, the daughter, she didn't even annoy me for once. One of the rare times we saw our kids almost all the way through the film, and I actually thought she was okay, decent, good. I thought the movie lacked and dropped the ball a few times, or could have went on a little. The dialogue was probably the biggest thing to me, is because these are performance dialogue films, and yeah, I think you need to get your point across by having those extended dialogue scenes. Nobody never complains in these films, these type of films, Selma, Told You to Slave, this film, that all the dialogue went on too long. It's because you need to feel that upbeat right there to, get you involved with these characters and how they feel and stuff like that. And I thought this one lacked in that. Like I said, brought up, there was a scene where Iris was at the water pond throwing rocks in. Anthony Mackie just shows up. She says one thing, so when the scene cuts off, going, you just like, wow, so they're not gonna have a conversation after that conversation they just had about her father or nothing like that? I'm just like, all right, well, that kind of takes away from the power of what that story was holding. What it meant to this, because I mean, there's a whole town chasing this motherfucker, so it takes away from that now. But I would just give it a rent it.
Just straight run it.
Yeah, just straight renting. I'm in that territory. I think it's it's about 50-50 with it. It's one of those things where you just wish there was more out of it. Like I said, this movie, you could see the potential in it. Possibly could have been up there with, 12 Years a Slave, Selma, something like that. But it just doesn't have enough of the to keep it going. You know, it just yeah. it doesn't push that limit that it should, like 12 Years of Selma did. You know,
I mean, it had its chances.
Oh yeah, it had plenty of chances.
And we're not saying that the thing about the story, about the drop-offs on characters and stuff, like, hurts the film, but it leaves a lot of unanswered questions that kind of bother you after watching it.
Oh yeah, you know, and I would to even go back to, I would say it does kind of hurt the film in a way. I think it would have made the film that much more powerful if it would have kept on. Mm-hmm. It would have kept going.
Yeah, and it could, like what you said, it could have been up there with like a Selma or a 12 Years, but yeah. It's just missing.
The performances are there.
Yes, they are. Everyone was acting was no doubt about it, acting was great.
Yeah, this first time director Tanya Hamilton, she had everything in the piece of the puzzle to make the 12 Years a Slave or Selma, and some reason she just didn't have that middle piece to complete it all.
And they also had Magnolia Films, who's no minor company. They do have some good stuff. So I think it's just, maybe it just kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, I would like to see Tanya Hamilton work on another project like this and see how she's evolved as a director after something like this. I would like to see something else from her in this.
Yeah, I mean, it's been almost 5 years. You don't know. I mean, that's a big gap.
Are they making that Trayvon Martin movie? I remember me and you talked about it when they said Jaden Smith or some shit like that.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean,
is that green light? Was that real or was that just a rumor or something?
No, I think it was real because I think because the press, the movie companies are not gonna back away from that.
I think you should get this chick to direct it then.
See what she can do with it.
Yeah, I would like to see what she can do.
Hey, with you're gonna have amazing cinematography because that cinematography was absolutely beautiful.
Oh yeah. I think she'd be perfect for that too because it involves with the cops and everything. I think she'd be great for that.
Yeah, yeah, she's very very talented. That's very amazing what a first time director can do. So big props to her for that.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, yes, yes, and being a black woman at that too.
Yeah, you know what I noticed in the 88 shows we've done? I don't think we've ever had a movie where it's been like I've had to see it and you've had to fuck it. You know what I mean? We've always kind of stayed on point.
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess so, huh?
We've always stayed on point.
You know, I was looking at this director too. She's more famous for doing shorts, right?
Yeah.
This movie kind of felt like it was shot in a short way.
Because of the stories.
Well, yeah, that and because how the scenes kept ending abruptly and shit like that, they felt like shorts.
You're absolutely right, because you could see Jimmy's story being a short, you can see yeah. Marcus's and Patty's, you can see all three of them be a short, so this could looks like kind of feels like a collection of movies.
And I was going to say, too, the lack of dialogue from it as well.
Yeah, so that's, I'm not going to say that's a bad thing, but it's not a good thing either.
Yeah, yeah. I think if you're going to do something like that, you need to have more visual impacts in the film then.
Yeah, I think that's where the old-style footage came in. Because, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, those kind of actually impacted the movie big time.
And you needed more of those, too. This is an hour-and-a-half film. You're gonna make, for shorts, that works just fine. No lack of dialogue and stuff like that. Because that's like 10, 20 minutes or something. Like that. For an hour-and-a-half to two-hour film, you need to have more visual impacts, whatever, that keeps it going, or if you're not going to have that much dialogue and scenes, whatever. I mean, because 12 Years a Slave did a lot of non-dialogue scenes, too, but they had some gorgeous fucking shots. Like the scene where they hung Solomon.
Yeah.
The kids are just playing in the background. So much meaning in that just scene, whatever. And that scene lingered on for a lot, too, but you got so much out of that scene that you didn't need dialogue to speak because you already knew what happened. You understood that. Why the kids aren't reacting to him being hung, because that's just how they grew up. They're used to that. It's just something they're used to. And I don't think this movie had enough of that to get it on, but I wonder if this probably was, like you said, a collection of shorts, and she just stuck it together as one movie.
Do you think, because with the ending,
with the whole Jimmy thing. Because that he shot the cop. The very next scene, the cops are outside Patricia's house. I'm like, that seems really rushed. So I'm kind of agreeing with you that this did, because I didn't know that she did shorts like that. Maybe you have to be absolutely right that she made these three shorts and just kind of like, okay, I'm gonna combine them into a movie.
And I was gonna say, they didn't know Jimmy killed that cop.
No, and it is,
Unless somebody told.
I don't see this town being a snitch. I don't.
No. Because I remember when he shot the cop, you heard a lot of people screaming, but I didn't see anybody, first of all, and I don't think they would just go and say, oh, it was this guy, Jimmy, or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially in a predominantly black town, like you said, I don't think they're going to go snitch to the cops telling
do you
them.
think, because he was dressed like a Black Panther, they just said, oh, it's Patricia, so we gotta check Patricia's house?
Yeah, most likely, because, she knew all the Black Panthers. That
Yeah.
could be one figure there.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
another one of those plot problems with the film.
Yeah. It doesn't take it away. It's still actually an enjoyable film.
Yeah, it's just a shame that if it would just added those little touches, it would have added more in those scenes. But
Yeah, but if you want to
you
freaking listen to awesome movie music, this is freaking great music.
oh hell yeah, man! I love it, man. The Rouge, big. I definitely probably go up there. We probably should do a top five at the end of the year of our favorite soundtracks from films we've
We
done here, but.
should. This definitely be up there because this music was the Roots are freaking amazing.
Oh hell
They're
yeah.
kind of like, I know how you like Daft Punk because we said that for Tron, that
Oh
Daft Punk's
yeah.
music, and
Oh.
this is really up there with it.
Yeah, I would definitely put that up there. So, yeah. So people look out there for in the end of the year. We're probably gonna do like a. I guess since we're late and behind in doing it, maybe we should do for all of Throwback Tuesday. And then next year we'll just do 2016.
Maybe when we get to our 100th.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Cause yeah, we've been doing a lot of movies lately that has some amazing scores and soundtracks to them,
True.
and
Yeah, we
this
got.
one definitely was up there with it. I thought it
Yeah,
was a
that's
fucking
gonna be
great.
real. That's gonna. We have to go back so many movies to actually like listen to them too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is that'd be great because some of them like The Crow. Fuck.
Oh, one of the best musics. Yes.
Fuck. Dream Warriors. Yes.
Hey, we got a lot of good hip hop on some of these movies too.
Not the past 2 weeks,
No, not in the past
but
2 weeks. No, not at all. No, no. But
no, but you
I like
said
the
like
Friday soundtrack.
when you said Juice, the opening in Juice.
Opening with Rakim?
Yep.
Yes, I would throw that on there. Yes, I love
Yeah.
that.
So yeah, we have our work cut out for on that list.
Yeah. Hey man, you already getting some questions?
Yes. I'll be interested to hear these.
Oh, shit. I think people hated the I Got the Hookup more than Soul Plane.
Probably because we pretty much said that this was not a movie. This was just Master P taking a camera out.
Taking his fucking in one of them cell phones he bought or whatever. I think a lot more people hated this movie more than Soul. I think this one got more of a hate buzz reaction to it than Soul Plane did.
But between the Soul Plane and I Got the Hookup, which one got the most hits?
They're about tied right now, from what I remember. They're about time. The one that got the most hits, obviously, is After Porn Ends.
Obviously.
Yeah. But what's coming close to that, though, is Tron Legacy.
No shit.
Yeah, I don't know why. Just that one, for some reason, every time I check my email, it's always something about fucking Tron Legacy. I'm like, God damn, shit.
That's seriously like out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, I know why Porn Ends is up there, but why Tron is, I don't know that.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing.
And Juice. No, I'm just playing.
We got a while before Juice can catch up to after Porn End, probably.
Oh, After Porn Ends was Throwback Tuesday's phenomenon, so.
That was actually a damn good show.
You mean where we disrespected every fucking porn star? No, no, we talked about positive porn. I remember because somebody asked us what was our favorite porn star, and then we had a long list. Ask us in 2015 who our favorite porn stars are and see if it changes.
Yep. No, that because I think that was the biggest one because The movie fate retweeted it.
Now you retweeted it, posted on their site. And got reposted on other sites. So, yeah, that was a big one.
And that's the one where we freaking just badmouthed Raylene.
I don't know what you're talking about. I said Raylene was an angel. What are you talking about?
Yes, it's true.
He's an angel. She's, who was the, Mary Carey? Was that the one that was in there
the
too?
Yeah, the wannabe governor.
That was the one we talked shit more about.
Yeah. She tried to be smart, but she really was a moron.
she tried to be governor, right?
Yeah.
My God, California.
Thank God. You better be help. You better be so thankful she didn't win.
I would have been living next door to your ass then, probably.
Well, actually, you probably would have enjoyed that free lap.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know.
Lap dance Thursday.
That'd be the one time if you caught a government official fucking in the office, would you be like, would you question it? I mean, come on, seriously.
Yeah, that's right.
Man, California, I swear, we will vote for any fucking body.
Yeah, thankfully Ohio doesn't have to worry about that.
I can remember I was in 10th grade when Schwarzenegger was running, and motherfucker was, I was just like, damn, California, I swear, sometimes your common sense just ain't in basics, you know? I like, this motherfucker spent most of his term talking about video games are bad for the youth's eyes and stuff like that. That nigga steps down from governor, and all that nigga's done is action movies that where he has a gun in his hand. Like, the biggest fucking hypocrite I've ever fucking seen. We need to ban the video game from the children, but I'm going to keep making these shitty action movies for him. And it's like, you got to be fucking kidding me. He seriously made me hate that guy. All right. But, questions now. The first one comes from Amethyst Chaos. She says, who are some of the most overrated or underrated black actors working in movies? P.S. I hope you poor motherfuckers win a damn award after the month y'all had. Yeah, February is a horrible month right now.
Underrated, obviously, Mackie and Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
She said Andor, or okay, who are the most overrated and underrated? Okay, underrated. Well, what's that guy's name? Keith Davis.
Keith Davis.
I thought Keith Davis was pretty underrated. Now, granted, I did make fun of him in Cloud Atlas. I called him a dying silverback monkey and everything, but I said that with love. I said that with a lot of love. Now, you always see him in the background of films and stuff like that. And he's always playing like the head honchos of like the younger youth and stuff like that. That guy is, I think he's really good. He just they even put him in Saints Row 4 video game as Keith David. He was really pretty funny as shit in that one as well.
Wait, are you talking about Keith David or Keith Davis?
David.
Oh, David, the guy with the voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's got a great freaking voiceover.
Yeah, he's got a lot of work, too. If you look his name up on IMDb, people, he's done a lot of shit or whatever, but he's never been, like, leading man in none of them, so...
Which is fine.
What?
Which is fine. I kind of like him as support. I kind of like him as the, like, a supporting role.
Oh, okay. I think he could do more. I think he's a great actor, man. I'm with you. I think in those supporting roles, whatever, he always stands out as the best in those supporting roles. Dead Presidents! Loved him in that!
I would say even Pitch Black.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in that, too.
Pitch Black, he was really good.
And my favorite performance recently was Saints Row 4.
But, yeah, the guy's voice, that he's got like, the James Earl voice. Not James Earl voice, but he can do a damn good voiceover.
He should sign up for something, man. I would love to see him in like a Marvel voiceover or something like that, superhero voiceover. I think he'd be great for that.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
He's got the base for that, baby. So we got Michael B. Jordan, Anthony Mackie, and Keith David. I think Anthony Mackie will eventually get out of that sooner than.
Is it because of Marvel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marvel makes stars.
It's yeah, right.
That should be their new tagline. We make stars out of you.
I'm trying to think of actresses now.
I'm trying to think of overrated now.
I can think of one that you're gonna say or think of.
I can think of one too.
Kevin Hart.
Who?
Kevin Hart.
Damn, the fact that we have to put him in actor's shots.
He's in a lot of fucking movies.
God, I have to call him an actor nowadays, don't we?
He's in a lot of movies.
Yes, the fuck he is, whatever. Yeah, that is. Goddamn, yeah, he's definitely one.
Oh, I, for an actress, I think Paula Patton. I think she's very underrated.
She has her moments where she's horrible, that's why. But I guess she's like 50-50 with me.
Okay.
Because that performance she gave in Baggage Claim, I thought that was the most embarrassing shit I've ever seen that year.
Megan Good.
Megan Good is a horrible actress.
But she's nice to look at, though.
Oh, man, she's great to look at. Like, you just put her on screen, you're just like, ew! She's, ooh, oh, man. I heard her friend looks even better than she does.
Her friend.
Yeah, her friend, whatever, because I used to work this place where they went or whatever and stuff. I used to do this weekend job, and everybody said, yeah, she comes here all the time, whatever. She comes with her friend. And she's like, now her friend is the one you really need to stare. I'm just like, okay, Megan Good's already great. I mean, her friend can't be no. That's a lie. It's got to be a lie. I've still yet to see this friend in person. I don't work there anymore, obviously, whatever, but I can only dream.
if Guardians wasn't out yet, I probably would have said Zoe.
Zoe?
Yeah.
Overrated?
Under.
Oh, under?
Yeah.
Well, she's not black, so.
What? Oh, she's not, is she?
She's Dominican.
Yeah.
She got that Latin descent, yes.
Overrated.
Someone told me that Marvel doesn't have enough diversity, and I said, the whole goddamn cast of Guardians of the Galaxy, only one person was white on that team.
Now it's Chris Pratt. I think he's...
He's a whole... I forgot. It's Hawaiian. I think he's a Pacific Islander or something like that.
I think he's more Puerto Rican.
Yeah, some shit like
that.
But
he's born in D.C., but his heritage.
Yeah.
And that shit, that fucking... He fucking blossomed in this fucking shit. Have you seen the shit he's signed up for?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. He had to be, in my opinion, probably one of the outbreak stars of last year, David Bautista. I was not expecting that from him.
No, he was the best.
Yeah, I was not expecting, because his line delivery was just perfect timing.
That could have been James Gunn, because if you watch Gunn's movies, actually does do very good at line delivery.
Well, then you know what? Then James Gunn needs to get more credit for that, because it's very rare to see a wrestler or someone, a musician or a wrestler or anyone that transitions over to movies so quick and deliver an A-plus performance like that, man.
Yeah.
So James Gunn deserves a hell of a lot of credit if he helped with that then, because that was damn good for Dave Bautista's part.
Overrated. Will Smith?
Halle Berry.
Yeah, well... She hasn't picked a lot of stuff.
Shit, she's been in a lot of fucking movies lately.
Shit.
Matter of fact, I think she had one nominated for a Razzie this year, or last year, with Still, not Still,
Movie 43.
I forgot the name of it. Alice and I, some shit like that.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Monique. Just because she's in the news right now.
She's in the news right now. That bitch ain't working. How many years in this public salary? He's like, she's working. BET.
Precious. No.
They always got a home for her. BET.
Precious is overrated.
Can you say that Precious was a fluke? Because we've seen how Precious' career and Monique's career both went downhill since then.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
You mean you had the hottest, probably the hottest girl in the movie on Ugly, Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say yeah. I think it was a fluke.
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch.
And if I remember correctly, wasn't that an Oprah? Was that an Oprah movie? Did she produce that?
No, I don't think so. Probably so. I don't remember. I didn't really care for that movie that much.
I'm trying to think of other overrated actors and actresses.
Yeah, well, hey, it was fine. It was easy to find overrated. Oh, you know what? Underrated, too? I guess before the TV show. Kerry Washington, too, as well. But,
yeah.
You know, she was doing bad performances, though, so never mind.
And
she was a fucking fantastic
I'm going to say, what about Will Smith is overrated?
Oh, hell yeah. Give me a high five on that, then. Give me a high five. Hell yes.
Virtual high five. Yes.
Yes, throwback high five right there, baby. Yes. Couldn't agree with you more.
It's not
overrated
the
shit.
It's not the 90s no more, you know? He doesn't have Men in Black or Independence Day to make
and
money.
I hate both of those. Well, I hate Men in Black, but...
To make money, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Not good, okay? It's not good
Jaden, at all. Jaden Smith, too. We're throwing him in the mix, too.
Underrated. That's what I'm putting him in.
Yes. Because we need to see him. We need to see him as Spider-Man.
God.
You saw that rumor, right?
I saw that shit or whatever. It's not real. No. God.
Marvel's not that dumb.
God, no. 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 Just no. He's more likely to be Robin than he is Spider-Man.
Because
they're making a Teen Titans TV show or whatever, and, you know, both Mama and Papa work for DC, so more likely to get a lot of job at DC these days. God, I hope Will just says, no, you don't get anything.
What about, like, because I think we had to discuss, and there's not a ton of star power on the black side.
Most of the star power that's on the black side are good, that's why. It's only when you get to movies like I Got the Hookup is when you go like, God damn.
Yeah. I think underrated, which I'm still going to say this, is Damon Huso, whatever.
Damon Huso?
Yeah, I think he's so underrated.
He gets a lot of work, though.
Yeah, but not... Amistad was his probably biggest solo, you know, biggest star role.
I wouldn't even call that a star role. That brother was barely on fucking screen.
True, but I think he's...
I don't think he's underrated. I think he gets a lot of work or whatever shit. Oh. I think he picked some horrible fucking choices, though. Like I said, he was in Baggage Claim, too. And I was just like, what in the fuck are you doing in this, bro? This don't even look like something you would choose. He's a horrible agent. fucking horrible agent. But you know what? That agent got him Guardians of the Galaxy, so he must not be that bad. Dude.
No, I just thought of one that we've brought up many times. Michael Ealy.
Yes, Michael Ealy. Michael Ealy gets work, though, so...
Yeah.
I don't think he's underrated. Matter of fact, he's up and coming, if anything, so...
He's an upcomer, but overrated...
Yeah, he's kind of like, what's his name? God, I forgot his name. The brother that's playing Black Panther.
Chadwick?
Damn.
Chadwick.
Chadwick Boseman, yeah. He's kind of like, you know, they're both up and coming.
Yeah. Chadwick, you know, he has had star roles, so...
He's
good.
His first two films knocked it out the park.
Yeah. 42 is amazing.
42 and James Brown film, Get On Up. So he's on a roll, so
Terrence Howard's overrated.
Yeah, Terrence Howard's a bitch. Terrence Howard's in the middle. He don't know what he wants, whatever shit. Next question though.
He wants money.
He wants hustle and flow.
Thank God we didn't pick that movie.
God. Ashley. Hey, that got nominated for an Oscar.
It did. He got nominated for Best Actor, I believe.
That won Best Music, remember?
Song, that was,
Pimp's Got It Hard Out Here.
That was, fuck, who was that group? Who was that group?
3-6 Mafia.
Yes.
Pimp's Got It Hard Out Here.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
I remember I stood in applause that they actually nominated that shit. I looked up the face of them white people and I was with them. They were just like, I thought we was at the Academy, not the goddamn Source Awards.
And Eminem actually, when he won for 8 Mile, he actually started the trend like that.
That was the funniest shit. Yeah, but Eminem is accepted by white people, though. So
yeah.
Let's be real. Eminem is accepted by white. That's the only reason why white people talk about hip-hop. And if you ask them, they always bring up Eminem. It's just like, yeah, because he's accepted. That's the only reason why Eminem says the shit he says, just because he can distance himself from white people saying, yeah, I'm hardcore, just like the black people, you know, whatever shit. It's like, no, you ain't, nigga. But, fuck Eminem. I don't give a shit. But 3-6 Mafia, Pimp's Got It Hard Out Here. That had to be the most interesting shit of any Oscar. Ever in the history of Oscars. That was the most interesting shit I've ever. I wish I was doing a show back then just so we could have did a recap of that.
Yeah, it was.
That would have been funny as fuck to hear. And the Academy Award goes to 3-6 Mafia by Pimp's Got It Hard Out Here. I would love for Spielberg to hand that award to him.
Yeah. That
Damn.
was. I remember that.
I would love to see that in an Oscar package of saying, you know, some of the great nominees and past winners and shit like that. You see 3 6 Mafia go up there with gold teeth and shit like that, whatever. Oh my God. Oh, what happened to those days? That's why Oscars play safe these days.
What happened to
Can't do
them?
that shit again.
What happened to them? You talk about Monique being blackballed.
Z's like, what happened to 3 6 Mafia? They got blackballed music.
Seriously, what happened to them? They literally drop off the face of the earth.
Only Southern rappers to ever say we won an Oscar.
They probably melted it down for teeth.
They got the word Oscar written on their teeth. Oh, that should be throwback to 16 songs. Pimp got a heart.
We should. We need to make an opening.
Pimp's got it hard out here. We need to make an Oscar compilation. It just consists of 3 6 Mafia.
The one thing we remember from any Oscar.
Now,
Yeah, because you gotta admit, though, you have
3 6
to.
Mafia, one for Pimp's got it hard out here.
Because you gotta think, though, Oscars are somewhat forgettable.
Yeah.
So you have to Google a lot of stuff, like, and you'd be like, we had this discussion not that long ago on a movie. We're like, they got nominated for an Oscar? I think it was Hook.
You remember that bullshit they pulled, what was it, last year or the year before? I think it was the year I went. I didn't go last year.
No, you didn't go last year.
Oh, whatever, when they did the James Bond,
Oh, when you were singing Skyfall with Adele?
Okay, I fucking hated that year. Because they were like, tonight's Oscar is themed by the James Bond, what did they call it? Tribute? The James Bond tribute shit? They did like two things. I was just like, wow, that was a fuck you to James Bond, huh? They're talking about like, and then they was like, and this Oscar award is getting, being presented by a James Bond girl. And they bring Holly Berry up. You're just like, she's the worst James Bond. Damn. This is the biggest insult to James Bond.
Well, I mean, who should they have got? Denise Richards?
Oh, that's like shit. They like tied together, whatever shit. And then you remember when they did the Goldfinger performance?
Which was great.
That was fucking amazing. I was expecting for them to go in the Goldfinger into Skyfall. Skyfall didn't come on until another 40 minutes later. I was like, damn.
Yeah, Skyfall is a great song, though. I don't like the movie, but great song.
Talking about the people that died than they did fucking than they did with the James Bond tribute to Goldfinger. Everybody know I'm a huge James Bond fan. I was happy when I found out that was a James Bond tribute, and then I was the whole show I was going like, when they gonna do something about James Bond? And then Halle Berry goes up and they was talking about, I was just like, oh well, I hope it just gets better from here. And then you hear that screeching voice in the background, Goldfinger. I was like, yes. And then 40 minutes later, Skyfall, and he's just like, that's it.
And why was so what was so big about James Bond that year? Because Skyfall came out?
No, I think it was the anniversary. What was it? The 65
anniversary,
70, something like that. It was one of the anniversaries and shit. Probably the longest running character, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, it fucking has to be. Yeah, Batman's trying to catch up. With Zack Snyder helmet, I'm sure they're gonna catch up anytime.
No, I think Lincoln. I know. I think Oz. I think Oz. I think Oz is coming up there.
Oh, hey, Ashley says, laughing my ass off. Surely you guys think Master P could be good in something, right?
No.
Shining my shoes. I think he'd be great at that.
He's gonna be an
na 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 na. He's great at making action figures for the children. There you go.
No, Master P is terrible. Even at mute.
Worst thing ever hit cinema.
I think the worst.
I'm surprised he wasn't in Soul Plane.
He could have been a background character. We don't know.
He probably could have been. He probably was a flight attendant for all I know.
The gay one.
Yeah.
He gained a lot of weight.
Actually, Master P did gain a lot of weight.
I haven't seen him. What he looked like.
You gotta look at that commercial that I sent you.
Oh, I completely forgot about that.
Allie, she says, you You know what's sad? This movie might be been a bigger hit if it came out today.
It's true.
Sadder than that? It's true.
It's true.
Yeah, that's even sadder. That you're not lying, Allie. Allie, that's a nice name. I like that name a lot. Are you black, Allie? She's like, no. I just know bad music when I see it in masterpiece.
I love we pause like we're waiting for a response.
I know, right? She's going to talk to me. Don't worry. I can hear that. Don't worry. I can hear Allie talking right now. She's just typing away. There you go, Allie. There. Hey, I got one from, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. It could be Pac or Pac. I'm going to go with Pac.
It's Tupac.
It's Tupac Shakur. Tupac Shakir. He says, I've been listening to movie spoilers for about a year now, P1. Has it been a year? I thought you'd been longer, Pac. Is he your longest co-host? I'll answer that question first before we get to the next one.
Go almost 2 years.
Yeah. I think CJ might be, unfortunately.
Unfortunately?
As sad as that sounds, yes.
Oh, so you were there the whole process of conception for his daughter.
God. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. You know, it's funny because I don't know if you heard the recent Darkness or whatever. Or just standard text message. Motherfucker claims ain't his daughter, right? He gets drunk this past weekend. Now, granted, I was too. He gets drunk this past weekend and started drunk calling all of his friends, if you will, and co-hosts. And told Sammy that he would raw back her.
Okay.
So, that just proved, CJ, that was your child then. You told people that you was raw backing them. So, you just put out proof of elements that you raw backed that girl you got pregnant. That brother's story never is straight every time he talks about it.
Is there a recording on this?
There's recording on every goddamn thing. That's the thing about CJ. There's recording on every damn thing he says.
You know what's weird? I only live like 2 hours away from CJ.
Toledo's 2 hours away from going? Goddamn.
It's about 2.5, but... No. It's not far. It's not far from Columbus.
Yeah, I guess it's like a L.A. to San Diego drive.
Yeah, that's like, I'm like, awesome. He's really close.
My drive is about San Diego, about 2 hours at the most, like hour 50 minutes, something like that. I thought it would have been closer for you guys, but I guess not. So you were visible when he gave birth to that child, then, what'd you say?
I was in the delivery room.
Oh, okay. Not you next door now.
Oh, he was getting drunk texting Sammy.
Motherfucker texting people, he gonna raw back them. And then got nerves saying, that ain't my child, though. I wear protection. No, the fuck you don't!
What kind of response do you give to that?
Here's your story. Here's CJ's story for giving birth to that child. Okay, so he said he was drunk that night. He was drunk this night as well.
So we're gonna have another kid in like 9 months.
Probably is. So, hey, Wayne, Sammy, Lou, Cody, Z, we all got to be there for the conception of his second child. So
we'll do a live podcast, play by play.
Actually, we're doing a live blood test, too. Z is $5 a chip in.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're doing a live blood test. We have to figure this out. I actually want the truth, but whatever.
Well, I think Luke and Wayne are fine since they're in Australia.
No, they're going to pay the $5, too. They paid the most, actually. They want to know. They paid the most. They sent over Australian dollars. I said, I want this shit. Sammy sent the Sacagawea coin.
How does she respond to that text?
Please, I'd like to be raw back anytime. That's
how. Oh, okay. That's a dignified response.
Yeah. So I think it's... Okay, it'll go this way. Z is the longest for one show. Wayne is the longest for just period, I guess, or whatever. And Z is the longest for just one show. So, yeah. He's in that room.
I'm up there.
Yeah. So, it's been, I think we're coming up on 2 years for Throwback Tuesday now.
Yep, almost episode 100. We're almost there.
Yes, almost there. So, and you've been here a year, Pac, so, yeah. It's been about that route.
How long was did you do movie spoilers with Lena?
About a year and a couple of months.
Okay.
So it was about a year and I want to say 4 months. Because I remember April took off to get this side up, and we came back in May.
Yeah, that's
like
when...
2 weeks of April took that off.
Yeah, that's when she just quit.
Exactly. She walked out. She's probably listening to this right now going, fuck you, people. I'll get some text tonight or whatever. Fuck you, people.
Does she still listen?
Huh?
Does she still listen?
Every now and then.
Okay.
Yes, people, I still get fuck you texts from Lena. But, you know where we talk more is on Yelp.
On Yelp?
I don't know how, like, why.
Does Movie Spoilers have a Yelp page?
No, I guess the final one does. She does have a Yelp page. When she added me on there and other people, I was like, you can add people in this shit?
Wait, are they trying to make Yelp Facebook?
Yes, I don't know. Because I started getting back into it. I was like, I go to a lot of bars and restaurants, so I was like, you know, I need to start keeping track of this, whatever, because I don't remember the names of these places, and I want to recommend them because they're sometimes good places. So I was like, you know, I got to start using my Yelp or whatever and shit. And then I had people started adding me on there, and I was just looking, I was just like, you can add people and shit. You can communicate and everything, you get badges and all that shit. I'm trying to get into that more, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so. But Pac goes on longer. He says, do have another question, though. Why do you think studios shelve projects and release them so late? Bad examples, but Red Dawn and Seventh Son. Well, Seventh Son, they released that to ruin Julianne Moore's chances of winning an Oscar.
I think for Red Dawn, I think they just needed Thor to come out first.
What it was with Red Dawn or whatever? Not right. You're not lying about that, actually. Sometimes they do that is because they don't see the star power in it.
But they had no star power besides Hemsworth.
Yeah, that got made right before Thor and all, and they didn't know how big Chris Hemsworth would be. They were just like, oh, another pretty boy. But, you know, the thing was, he was an Australian guy and stuff like that. They didn't know how big of a hit he was going to be. And then, you know, obviously that came out, and they were like, wow, this guy's a great actor. Other chance, other times or whatever, after this year, I really do think that sometimes they release it around this time just to fuck over actors. Did you see that bullshit that Jake Gyllenhaal, they got him attached to?
Is
it a David O. Russell film?
Oh, yes.
That shit looks horrible. Matter of fact, they're already giving it a bad review and saying, they're shitting on Jake. I was like, damn, they're trying to fuck his Nightcrawler up.
Well, Nightcrawler's fucked up anyway.
Seventh Son had Julianne Moore. There was another movie that's coming out as well that had an Oscar nominated. Jupiter Ascending with Eddie Redmayne. Eddie Redmayne, for A Theory of Everything, is a fan favorite to win the best male performance year. He's won every male performance so far this year. And then Jupiter Ascending came out, and he's just looking at it and going like, Eddie Redmayne gave the most embarrassing performance in that film.
It's been him and Keaton, right?
Keaton won like two, I think, but Eddie Redmayne's been taking it more. Okay.
I mean, a lot of it, I think you're right. I don't know, like Seventh Son, I remember I saw a movie and that was a preview and it said released January 2014 or whatever.
That was supposed to come out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Sometimes a lot of them shelled is because they don't have faith in the budget on Seventh Son was high as shit too, by the way.
Like 200 million, wasn't it?
I think it was like, somewhere around there, like either 165 to 200 or something like that. And I was just like, well, that's a fail.
It's
not a draw, people.
I think you're right. It's kind of a style. Because Red Dawn, it had, Tom Cruise's kid in it.
Well, oh, yes, right. It did have Tom Cruise. And he was barely in the fucking film.
had the girl that played that small role in Transformers 2.
Was that other guy that was supposed to be Chris Hemsworth's brother? I hated that kid.
Josh Peck?
Josh Peck. Jesus Christ, that guy was horrible.
The movie was horrible.
That fucking movie was horrible. Yeah, that's right. You remember when they killed Chris Hemsworth? I was like, well, there goes the chance of this movie even doing good. Because he was
Black
investing a fucking film.
And then Black Hat got bombed too.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think it's based on star power. They want to get that... that make a star, because who knows how many movies are actually, like, in the can to waiting to be released.
Some of it, sometimes some get shelved, and this is just from experience of knowing this, whatever. Sometimes it gets shelved just because they don't want to put the money into it as far as marketing and anything like that. And if they release it, they realize they're not going to get any money back because of without the marketing.
Yeah, because you got to have marketing. Mm-hmm. I don't think
unless you're Marvel.
Yeah, you just it's a Marvel movie, so it's guaranteed to make money.
All you gotta do is just you ain't even gotta show shit, just put Marvel on it. People go like, oh my god! Oh shit.
Like a big example, Big Hero 6 did not get massive marketing.
No.
And
probably
that
got some later in the year it did. It got a lot actually.
Okay, that. But that was a Marvel movie. Well
no, it was a Marvel comic that went
Marvel to comic. But that was, even though that was a great movie, that's still, the marketing wasn't, you know, as big as it could have been, especially for an animated movie.
By the way, they don't really put too much marketing in animated films because they, animated films nowadays make money.
Frozen had none. I don't remember any marketing for Frozen.
Frozen actually did, because I remember we were talking about me, Lehu, and we were talking about that for like a year. It had a lot of, because it was getting early reviews and stuff. It had a lot of good press going in between it and stuff like that, and a lot of good marketing going into it. But Frozen was a fucking phenomenon.
Yeah, which we'll probably never see again. Like,
I would never expect Frozen to be that phenomenon. Because I remember at that time when Frozen was geared up to come out that year, whatever, that time people was going, because I think it was at the time that Disney had just bought Lucas Films,
mm-hmm.
and they were saying that Disney don't need to make films no more. They don't need to, because it was like it's not worth the chances of not making money if they don't make a film. And that rat said, "Fuck you, we'll show you," and he came out with Frozen right afterwards, and that movie fucking destroyed box offices for fucking 3 months.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't go away. Matter of fact, even it still make money today, not even being in theaters. The fucking Blu-ray is still $30.
Yeah, well, I'd send you that text.
The fucking Blu-ray. Every time I go to the Best Buy or something like that, or get a new Blu-ray or something like that, I fucking see it still sitting there. 3D Blu-ray. Matter of fact, they got special country edition versions of it.
Really?
That comes in like different packages and shit. I've seen it for like $80 or whatever and shit.
Wow.
And still sells, whatever. There is Frozen knockoffs at Target.
I'm surprised there hasn't been like a Frozen knockoff movie.
Might have been. You know, they're probably some low budget. You know what? It ain't, because it's Disney's name on it. People ain't trying to take on Disney. They're too much of an empire.
It's true.
I went to Target around Christmas time to get some toys for the kids, and I went down the girl aisle, and I was just like, I wonder what sells for girls these days. And I was just like, Frozen has its own aisle. There's a whole fucking aisle. And Halloween last year, who did everybody want to dress up as a girl?
Elsa.
Fucking Elsa. People are just fucking going crazy over that shit.
That's amazing.
Selling like hotcakes.
And the song is still a big hit.
It is a fucking phenomenon. I think that had to be one of, even though, you know, obviously a lot of the Marvel movies have made more than that, whatever, I think Frozen has to be one of their biggest phenomenon hits. Because it still sells today.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Frozen was bigger than the Avengers. That motherfucker is still selling out on costumes and toys and shit.
I guarantee you, if they re-release it in theaters, it would be still huge.
Oh, hell yeah. It would be fucking huge or whatever. Because I know somebody that says he wants to see it, but he don't want to pay $30 for the Blu-ray.
That's why I text you. I'm like, why is fucking Frozen sold $30.
Still selling. I think Frozen is like that perfect example of today's Star Wars. Because everybody said, oh, the reason why Star Wars did so well, whatever, is because of what it sold and toys and stuff like that. I have not seen a movie that had done something like that besides Frozen in today's standard.
Yeah.
The Disney store is fucking covered in Frozen shit. Have you ever been in a Disney store, by the way?
I have, yeah. We have one in here.
Man, they cock tease the fuck out of you in that store.
They do.
I hate that store because me and the wife went there to. She bought a Frozen doll for her niece or whatever. It was a big ass fucking doll. It stood up to damn near my waist and shit like that. She went to go return it to get her a different one because someone got her that one already. The bitch has a whole goddamn collection of Frozen dolls or whatever shit. Anyway, point of the story is they got a Marvel section. Big Hero 6 and all that shit, whatever. So. You should have seen my ass just smiling at motherfucker because I haven't been in a Disney store since I was a kid. I was looking, I was like, These costumes are authentic. Look at them. They look cool. But they're only for fucking kids.
And they're probably $45 or more.
The fucking Star-Lord costume was badass. The jacket looked authentic and everything. I was like, fucking bastards, dude. I remember asking a lady, I was like, y'all ain't got this in adults? I mean, I was like, and I told her, I was like giving her my sizes and shit like that. I was like, you just can't like have it shipped here and try it on me or something. You don't do that at all. She's like, no, we just do kids. I was just like, so you don't have a Disney adult store like next door or something like that? My wife had to yank me out because I was asking her too. She said I was making the lady uncomfortable.
When you say a Disney adult store, that just sounds dirty.
Whatever. I want my goddamn Star-Lord costume. They had badass costumes in there, dude. Whatever, though. That's probably that's the main reason why they do that, though.
It's not like the movies that are shelved, they don't make good money when they are released.
No, and that's another reason why, too. They don't expect to make money from them. They just release them because, just put it out this time, just whatever, just because we got to release it now at this point.
You pretty much have some inside information, like... How many movies do you really think are shelved?
Oh, man. I remember one time I walked into this room, and people was like, what room are you talking about? It's just like, yeah, you don't worry about that. You this is a conversation between me and Z. I walked into a room, and I saw over 50 posters that were made from movies I haven't even heard of.
Wow.
And it was shelved, and so it probably a ton of fucking films. They already have the conceptual design of it done and everything, scripts or whatever. It just doesn't get put out. Studios don't have faith in it to put it out.
But they paid so much million to make a movie.
Not necessarily, because sometimes it's in-house work.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes we already have them. Especially like studios like Warner Brothers or Sony or something like that, we have our own. They have their own lot and shit. So, it's not really much for them to film and shit. Most of that marketing really goes a lot into marketing and paying people.
So Seven Son, that's probably the highest production budget of a shelved movie.
That really... probably a lot more shelved movies than that. Sometimes you don't know because they don't really talk about them that much, but... as far as being known as being shelved or whatever and tanking so badly, cool, critics was hard on this film, and rightfully so, the movie was fucking horrible. It didn't make any money. When you see that budget, you're just like, God damn, dude, who would still give Julianne Moore, well, I think it's still a great actress, nonetheless, but she ain't bringing no money in, let's be real. Julianne Moore and Jeff fucking Bridges.
Yeah.
Last time Jeff Bridges did anything good.
Of Iron Man?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, Jeff Bridges. That dude is getting worse. I'm having a hard time making out what the fuck he's talking about nowadays in films.
Do you think he's going senile?
He's got some accent he's using or some shit like that. He's just like, what the fuck, nigga? He was not in a western.
Right, remember R.I.P.D.
I couldn't understand a word he was saying in that fucking film.
He had that southern accent, trying to talk hard ass.
And it was so weak because he's teamed up with a character that's not in that form. Like, the team up between him and Ryan Reynolds was so odd and uneven. It was just like, it's not even a good chemistry related team that they put together here.
Yeah.
That's why that movie sucked.
That's why probably not the only movie sucked, but.
Yeah, that's true, whatever, people. But,
it's not.
Get out here now, people.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening for Throwback Tuesday. We know you have many options to listen to as far as podcast formatting or whatever, but, hey, it doesn't come no better than Black History Month. Thank God it's over.
Yep, it is. It is over. We actually closed out the month with something decent.
Yeah, thank God. Because I don't know if you saw it. Well, I didn't send you the picture of the other choices.
Oh, God. Oh, God. What were they?
And one was Baby Boy.
Oh, God.
The other one was The Watch.
The Watch?
Wash.
Oh.
The other one was How High.
Oh, fuck. Why are they trying to put rappers on us?
I like how all those movies got rappers.
Snoop Dogg, and then How High. Method Man and Redman.
Redman, yeah. Well, people, that's been Throwback Tuesday, episode 88. I'm the Phenomenal One.
This is Z.
And we will be back next week for 89, Z. Almost a 90.
Almost. Two more.
Almost 100. We're close. We're getting there.
We are.
Well, later, bastards.
See ya.
About you.